good. It's so nice to see all of you back from last year. I hope that this week is truly productive and profitable. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have been counseling over this last year? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. And that means the rest of you are thinking about counseling. And you are planning to start on Monday. Is that right? Did I read your mind? And that is exactly how you were planning on handling it? All right, well, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to study your word. And thank you for the joy of Christian fellowship. And thank you for the reality that we can come together and to celebrate your goodness in our lives. And that you then allow us to serve others. In some cases, those who are your children already, who need to be encouraged and helped. And in some cases, those who are lost and are in desperate need of salvation. Lord, we also recognize that as we approach the topic of suffering, that the reality is that there's many here who are enduring that right now. And so I pray that this session would be an encouragement for them. I pray that it would remind them of some truths that you have provided in your word, because we are going to need them through the sojourn of this beautiful, broken, twisted world. Lord, we also would ask that you would help us as we think about how to be equipped to address issues of suffering. And I thank you for all those who are already knee-deep in counseling. And I thank you for the opportunities that they've had. For those who have yet to have that opportunity, I pray that this would inspire them to get more involved than what they are now, that their churches would be more passionate about the private ministry of the word, just as they're passionate about the public ministry. And so we ask for your help in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when I come to a conference, I often have a couple of things in mind. I certainly want the conference to encourage me in my worship of Christ. I certainly want to be stimulated to think differently or to think about something that maybe I hadn't thought about before. So I want some intellectual stimulation. But one of the other things that I want is I want to be able to go home and do something. Would you agree with that? I want to go home and do something. I want at least one idea that I can grab onto and then I can employ it in my ministry. So if I'm going to spend some time away in order to learn and to think and to grow, then not only do I want to be encouraged by just my own personal walk with Christ, but I also want to be given tools and have some ideas on what it would look like for me to minister when I get home. I hope that this session fits in that category. That when we're done, you would have at least four passages of Scripture that you would be willing to talk with a counselee about, and that you would be willing to go through nice and slowly and carefully the text in order to encourage and to inspire and to help those who are suffering. Now, I think it's appropriate to answer one question before we go any further, and that is, why would we use the Psalms with a suffering counselee? Well, why would we go to the Psalms in order to do that? And the first answer is because ministering the Psalms is what Spirit-filled people do. Now, I'm going to prove this from the Bible, but I want us to take just a quick historical look in our own churches, in our own lives. I come from a Baptist background. So there's some of you who probably also come from a Baptist background. There's others of you who come from a Presbyterian background. And I observed pretty quickly, once I started getting into the study of Scripture, that the Presbyterians were eating our lunch in the Psalms, and our breakfast, and our dinner. And what I meant by that is that Baptists haven't tended to emphasize the Psalms to the degree that our Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Christ have done. And I can remember listening to a few preachers on the Psalms. And when the Presbyterians got up to talk about the Psalms, it was like, whoa! It's obvious you spent some time in the Psalms. And so I think that one of the challenges, depending on your background, is that some of you, maybe who have been in a Presbyterian church or one like it, you have feasted on the Psalms for your life. But if that hasn't been your background, then it's possible that the Psalms remain a little bit of an enigma to you. You just haven't spent a lot of time there. But I would like us to at least see how the New Testament speaks about the Psalms and why that encourages us to become more familiar with the Psalms than what we have been before, and then to actually use them, employ them in ministry. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then it starts with some really important words here, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, one of the questions that we have to ask is, what are the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? And at least some have argued that all three of those terms, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, actually refer to the book of Psalms. They are words that are used to describe various kinds of psalms found in the Old Testament. So it's not like this is the psalms, like the book of Psalms, and then there is the hymn, and then there is the worship chorus. It seems as if the Apostle Paul is actually driving us to maybe the book of Psalms as a whole here. And what does he say we should be doing? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, the expectation is if we were going to be filled with the Spirit, then out of us comes oozing the psalms themselves. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Those ideas seem to be contingent on being filled with the Spirit. It's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Or we look at the companion passage in Colossians chapter 3. And it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." So are the psalms for instruction purposes? Yes or no? Yes. Sometimes people think that the psalms are the emotional part of the Bible. It's the relating to our emotions aspect, but we need other parts in order to address our intellect. That's not what the Apostle Paul thought. Because when the Apostle Paul thought about the Psalms, he said, here's what being filled with, here's what the Word of Christ richly dwelling within you looks like. That out of you comes oozing out the Psalms in order to teach and admonish. So there was an instruction purpose given in the Psalms for you and for me, even as New Testament believers. And now there are different kinds of Psalms. I'm only going to emphasize the Lament Psalms in this session. But that doesn't mean that the other Psalms aren't equally valuable for other aspects of ministry. Because Paul, in writing both to the church at Ephesus as well as the church at Colossae, brings together these ideas and says, this is what Spirit-filled people do. So one of the questions I've had to ask myself is, well, if I want to claim that I'm Spirit-filled in a Colossians 3, Ephesians 4 mentality, then I ought to be doing these things. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In both passages, the text is commanding us that the psalms would actually be used. It's part of what it means to be Spirit-filled or let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. The second reason that I wanted to emphasize the psalms is because since the psalms are hurting people, writing to hurting people, and this is the Lament Psalms, they speak incredibly well to the sufferings of people. Now, as biblical counselors, we never argue that you have to go through the exact experiences of your counselee in order to minister to them. Right? We don't do that because the authority for our counsel is not our experience.